He is truly worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He is truly the great God of heaven, who does all things well and never makes a mistake. We're so thankful to all who have led us in our devotional services, and we certainly appreciate their leadership and their dedication to the worship of God, and that all things go decently and in order. And we certainly want to express our gratitude for this opportunity to be able to share in the message this morning. We want to just remember Brother Gibbs and Sister Gibbs. They are away from us on today. They are celebrating their 47th wedding anniversary. On December 25th, they will have 47 years of marriage. And so he decided that he would not be here this morning. And so we just appreciate them so very much for their example and their dedication to the cause of Christ, and their example of being married for a long time. I thought Brother and Sister Hart weren't going to be here, but they are. On yesterday, they celebrated their 45th wedding anniversary, but they are here. I thought Brother Hart said he was going out of town, but he is here. And we're just so thankful to both of these great couples for their commitment and their example to us, that if you hang on in there, if you hang on in there, God surely will bless you in your marriage. This morning, I want to look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We have been studying through the book of Revelation. On one Sunday night, we looked at Revelation chapter 4, and so wanted to continue into Revelation chapter 5. Starting at verse number 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Worthy is the Lamb. worthy is the Lamb. I'm afraid that our world is looking for worth in all the wrong places. We attribute and assign worth to so many unworthy people, places, accomplishments, attributes, and possessions. We look at who's following us on Twitter to determine our worth. How many YouTube views we have to establish our worth. We consider the available funds, in our account as an indicator of our worth. We look at our bodies, how they are shaped, and if they're not shaped in the way we want them to be shaped, we feel that we don't have worth. We look at our hair, the texture and length, and based upon our assessment, we'll say whether or not a person has worth. If you have Indian in your family, then you feel like you have worth. How your skin looks, the color is used sometimes to determine worth. We consider our social connections as a measurement of worth, because we all know it's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you know the right person, and if you have the right connection, you feel worthy. And don't get me wrong, there is value in having social connections and available funds in your account and a healthy body, but that does not determine your worth. John discovers that there is only one who is worthy, who is deserving, who is suitable, and this one resides in a celestial city that contains one who sits on a throne, and in his hand is a scroll sealed, written on the front and back. That scroll represents the total plan of God for his people. And the question is posed by the strong angel: who is worthy to open the book and to read the contents? But no one worthy was found in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth. And as that scroll remains in the hand of him who sits on the throne, John's eyes well with tears. Soon he is sobbing because no one was worthy. And I can empathize with John, because as I look around, I'm reminded that all the powers we look to, we find unworthy people occupying those offices. Used to be you could go to a teacher and they would do you well, but nowadays you got to be careful with the teacher. Police officer, you got to be careful with them. You used to write to your Congress, but you better be careful with them. Your governor, your president, and even preachers. There are some that are not worthy in that office. But thank God for the comfort of one of the elders who represents the people of God, who said, "Don't cry, John. There is one who is worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David. He is worthy to open the book, but he's also worthy of your total devotion and service. There is a Lamb who is worthy." And as I looked at this Lamb that is worthy, I asked myself the question, what makes this Lamb worthy? And I found at least three qualities that alludes to Christ's worthiness. First of all, his unique character, his majestic power, and his awesome sacrifice. These make him worthy. When the scripture says, we looked and we couldn't find one worthy, verse number 6 of Revelation 5 says, "Lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." And that's when we look at the character of this lamb. He says that this lamb is not just a lamb, but he's also a lion. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. In Genesis chapter 49, we'll see Jacob talking about his son Judah. He says that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, for he shall reign until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Judah is a lion, which means that Judah would be considered a great ruler and lawgiver. But the ultimate fulfillment is in Jesus Christ, the Lamb or the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But then not only is he a ruler of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he is the Root of David. When you think about David, David is considered the greatest king over Israel. He is a great warrior, for he killed his ten thousands while Saul killed his thousands. David is considered the greatest king to ever rule in Israel. But we need to understand that although he is a great warrior and a great king, the Bible says in Revelation 3:7, that Jesus has the key of David. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." In other words, if David is great, but Jesus has the key of David, that means that Jesus is greater than David. There is no one that can rule like Jesus rules. There is no one greater than him. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31, I know we're getting ready for our season's greetings and our holiday, but this verse that many use around Christmas time has significance when you talk about the character, the unique character of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Watch now. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus is the greatest. He rules over the house of Jacob. His kingdom shall have no end. He is eternal. There is no one like him. But not only is he a lamb, and not only is he a ruler, a lion and a ruler, but he's also a lamb. For I heard him say, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." In other words, I have the character of a lamb. I am approachable. You can come unto me and find rest. The disciples knew, wasn't anybody like Jesus. Remember when his disciples were crossing the tempestuous sea, and they woke Jesus up saying, "Lord, save us." But the lion got up and roared at the winds and the sea and rebuked them. And there was a great calm on the sea. And the people said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" There's nobody like Jesus. No one has his character. You remember the Pharisees in John chapter 7 and verse number 46, they gave orders to the officers to arrest Jesus. But when they came to bring back the report empty-handed, the Pharisees asked, "Where is he? We told you to arrest him." The officers said, "No man spoke like this man." They were so engulfed in what Jesus said that they could not even bring themselves to do the task that the Pharisees asked. There is no one like Jesus. You remember, the disciples have been toiling all night fishing in Luke chapter 5. And they were coming in and washing their nets. And Jesus said, "Let's go back into the deep." And he sent them on another fishing excavation. And the disciples said, "Lord, we have been toiling all night and we haven't caught anything." And Simon said, "But nevertheless, at thy word, we will go back." And when they let their nets down, they caught an abundance of fish, so much so that their nets broke and their boats began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw what Jesus was able to do, here's what he said. He says, leave me, for I've never had such a man. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that were taken. But watch Jesus as a meek lamb. He said, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." When Simon saw the character of Jesus, he looked at himself and recognized, "I don't even need to be in your presence." But Jesus, as a lamb, comforted him. told him to fear not. When you look at Jesus, his character, there is no flaw in his life, no blemish in his character, no spot in his purity, no defect in his work, no doubt in his devotion, no lack in his love, no guile found in his mouth. There is no one with the character of Jesus. And since he has such great character, if I need something and someone to read about, I don't have to go far to pick up a book. All I need to do is open up the Gospels and read the life of Jesus Christ. You want something to read while you on Christmas break? Pick up the Gospels and read them, and read how Jesus' life impacted the world. You want to know how you handle your enemies, how you help your haters? You read how Jesus dealt with them, and then you will know how to deal with them, because he is one of unique character. The only man that I know that shows me how wretched my life is. He says, you still got a long ways to go. Keep on striving. Keep on going, because you haven't arrived yet. Jesus shows us we got a long way to go. But then we can also trust him. When he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, you can trust him. When he says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, you can trust him. When he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, you can trust what he says. There's no one with the character of Jesus. Not only is his character unique, but then also Jesus has majestic power. Go back to Revelation chapter 5. Watch now. Verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Jesus is worthy because he has majestic power. That word majestic simply means that which is royal. It reflects supreme greatness, authority, sovereignty. Jesus has all power, and he is all powerful because of his majesty. He is a ruler. He is a sovereign Lord and Savior, and therefore he has majestic power. Now watch here. He says he is a lamb that had been slain. In other words, John could still recognize the wounds. John could still see the scars. John could still recognize where the pain and suffering occurred. But at the same time, the lamb that is wounded has seven horns. Now, we need to just pause real quick, because the book of Revelation is one of symbols. And also numbers symbolize. And the number seven is used about 54 times in the book of Revelation. And it is symbolic of that which is complete, that which is perfect. that which is full. So when it says that this lamb that was slain has seven horns, he is saying that he has complete power, full power, because horns represent power. So although the lamb is wounded, he is not impotent. He is all powerful. He still has in him majestic power. In other words, the wounds did not stop his power. And I know we want to go to heaven and get a new body. But you just might have one that still shows the wounds that you got down here. But just know, even if it shows the wounds, you with the person who has all power. So he says, look at me, I have not only the seven horns, but the seven eyes, the complete Spirit of God. If there's never been a book that emphasizes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it is the book of Revelation. For even in Revelation 4, you see again the Spirit, the seven eyes, and also you see God the Father on the throne. But now you have God the Father with a scroll in his hand, sitting on the throne. Then you have the seven, the complete Spirit of God. Then you also have the Lamb. So all three are there in heaven. But I like his power, because while the Lamb was slain, the Father is on the throne with the scroll in his hand, sealed with seven seals. And the strong angel asked, who is worthy to take the scroll and to look upon it and to read it? Who is worthy? In all of heaven, no one could step forward. In all of the earth, no one could come forward. Even those who had died, no one could come forward except the Lamb that had been slain. He was powerful enough to approach the throne of God. Although the angel was powerful, he was a strong angel, he was not worthy. Only the Lamb is worthy. And because of his power, he was able to take the scroll. He was able to open the scroll and read thereof. When he had taken, in verse number 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and of tongue, every people and every nation. Only Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worthy. He has all power. There is no circumstance that can restrict him. There is no adversity that can hinder him. No situation that can constrain him, and no power that can control him. No enemy that can defeat him, and no obstruction that can block him. There is nothing that is impossible for him. Well, then I have to ask, how does that help me Well, if I know that he has all power, surely he can help me in my trials and in my tribulation. The church was experiencing excruciating tribulation through the Roman government. But John gave them a picture that you have someone who is before the throne of God, who is all powerful, and you have a resource that is all powerful, and he has a plan. He is not going by off the pants of seat of his pants, wondering what he's going to do. He's already got a plan, and he's powerful enough to execute it. So that just lets me know that if I'm dealing with somebody who has a negative heart, I got to take them before the throne, because that's where the power is. When they start turning up their noses at me and looking like you looking at me, I got to take you all before the throne, because that's where the power is. Whenever we encounter adversity, I know death is unbearable to some, but it can be bearable because I already know that Jesus has the keys to hell and death. So one of these days, he's going to initiate the great resurrection. He's going to do it by his power. The Lamb has the power to know what's going on in the church, and he has the power to correct it. You're not going to solve it on Facebook. You're not going to fix it on Twitter. God has the power, and he knows how to fix it. There's no need of us worrying about what's going to happen, what's going to... God has the power. And then, finally, his awesome sacrifice. Watch now. They sung a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book, to open the seals, for thou wast slain." Watch now, "and has redeemed us to God. By thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." His awesome sacrifice. It is his blood that he used to redeem us. On the cruel cross, they crucified him, and the blood was shed. But that same blood, Jesus took back to glory and offered it to his Father as a propitiation for our sins. That's the awesomeness of his sacrifice. That his blood was able to buy us, those of us who were unworthy, those of us who are messed up, those of us who are sinners and full of sin. That precious blood, even our thinking is messed up, but the precious blood that Jesus offers is a propitiation even for our sinful deeds and sinful thoughts. He paid the price. And with his blood, it just didn't help one group of people. It was universal, so that every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation now has the ability to receive redemption. And then his sacrifice is awesome because it changes our status. He says, now you are kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's why the church is so important. I don't care what people say, the only ones who reign are those who have been redeemed by the blood, and those who have been redeemed by the blood have been put in the church that has been purchased with the blood. And therefore, we are a kingdom. Oh, we are reigning. We are ruling. I know they thought Rome was ruling, but Jesus wanted them to know you are somebody. Even while you own the earth, you have my sacrifice that makes you kings and priests and rulers. Timothy said, if we suffer with him, suffering is the indicator that you're reigning. Put it on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. 2 Timothy, wake up out there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. What lets you know that you are reigning is the fact that you are suffering. That's why you shouldn't run to get out of suffering, because that's an indicator that you are connected to him. The only way we get that connection is through his sacrifice. We become his and we take on his suffering. Therefore, his sacrifice is awesome. Changes our status to kings and priests and rulers. And then I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. He is not trying to give you a number. He is just trying to show you that it is beyond your comprehension. Those that praise his name in the heavenly realm. In other words, and then he brings good news even to heaven that they praise him throughout all eternity. So then what does that say about us down here? If we can't praise God for an hour, how do you think we're going to praise him in eternity? We got people saying, well, I can have church all by myself. I don't need to come to 1013 South Greenville to worship God. John shows us a picture of what's going on in heaven. And they not by themselves. They are surrounded with an innumerable company of worshipers. And then we want to get upset when somebody tells us we need to be in church. If you can't praise him with us in here, how do you expect to praise him with an innumerable? It's too big, too many people.
Amen.
Do you know this is nothing in comparison to what is going on in heaven. And the only way we get to enjoy that is because the Lamb was slain. The Lamb brought his blood, offered it to the Father as a propitiation for our sins. That's why when John saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." We get access to him because of what he has done. Thank be to God. So when I'm getting a little concerned about my health, I just need to make sure that even if I have to sacrifice feeling comfortable because I got a pain in my back, that his sacrifice shows me that my sacrifice is minimal. I can sit with pain in my leg and back. Amen. For an hour of worship because of what he sacrificed for me. Amen. On Calvary. I can deal with somebody's personality. For now, I can sacrifice my comfort because of what he sacrificed for me. There is, what is it? What is it that you're experiencing? That the Lamb that laid his life down does not say, "I can help you with that." He has our back. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. I read that they had loud voices when they were up in heaven. I read that they were singing loudly in heaven. Why can't we open up our mouth and sing on the Lord's day in the Lord's house?
Amen.
Well, I don't sing that well. And we know that already. But to God is going up as a sacrifice of praise. We know. Make a sacrifice because he sacrificed. God is a good God. And he is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of you giving your life to him, because he can do more with your life than you are doing with it on your own. You're talking about getting turned around. You're talking about having another outlook. It comes when you get connected to him, knowing what he has done for you. If you're not a child of God, you need to be.
Amen.
The Lamb sacrificed his blood and redeemed us, that we might be kings and priests. We might rule and reign even while we're on this earth. Don't you want to be a child of God? Have faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. He'll add you to his body, the church, the kingdom. He'll give you his spirit to rule and reign in your life. And if you're here, you're not a child of God, but you haven't been living the way God wants you to live, Stop putting yourself on the throne.
Amen.
I know every now and again we do. I put myself sometime up there, and I have to make sure I remove myself from the throne. Get yourself off the throne and let him rule and reign in your life. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. We're going to ask that you come. And as you stand, as we sing the song that I wanted to sing, and I can't remember what that song was that I was singing. Oh, come, let us sing.